I've looked forward to this time as well as Thomas Hammond, our new executive director. We praise God for Thomas and his leadership and the vision that God has given him and the way that he is leading us, and Andy Childs, the chairman of our executive committee, pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Toccoa. I love both these men and have been blessed and encouraged and taught so many things by both of them. Would you join me in welcoming Thomas and Andy as they lead us during this time of the executive committee report?
Thank you, Al. I love you, buddy. Thank God for you. Amen. It's a joy for me to say a word of appreciation to the people of New Hope Baptist Church and their pastor, Reese Stenner. Would you join me in just showing your appreciation for the hospitality that we've received today? I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, to take advantage of this property and your opportunity that you have to really just to peruse it, if you will, just to go around, take out your phones, take some pictures, and learn some things, because this church, from the facility standpoint, is doing some incredible things, taking an older facility and updating it, but also from an outreach standpoint, they're reaching their community, and I would just encourage you to do so. I know when I was pastoring, I loved to go around other churches and see what they were doing and learn from them. I have found out that creativity is just not revealing your sources. So that's just the reality of it as well. I want to also express my appreciation to Andy Childs. He has been the just an incredible source of encouragement and blessing to me and to Georgia Baptist. He's the chairman of the executive committee. Our vice chairman, Tommy Fountain, has done an incredible job. You heard him hopefully preach the word yesterday during our preaching conference. And then Dennis Conway, thank you for leading us and helping us with the matters of our convention and parliamentary work. And I want to ask our chairman, Andy, to come now and lead us, brother.
Thank you. Good morning, Georgia Baptist. It's exciting days to be part of what God is doing in our churches, in our state, and around our world. You know, it's no coincidence that we gather each year in a time like this, a setting like this, to do business that not only affects my church and your church, north, south, east, and west in Georgia, but our decisions literally have impact on our Southern Baptist Convention. Our generosity, our faithfulness to the gospel, our partnership together with all other Southern Baptists literally around the world, we help lead the way. And what a joy and honor it is to have served as the chairman of your executive committee. On behalf of your executive committee, I want to remind you it is exactly that. It is your executive committee. And it's our high honor to gather together on your behalf in between annual meetings and transact business. Sometimes it's exciting, sometimes it's very detailed, and the lawyer has to help us know what the lawyer's telling us that the lawyer's telling us. And so kind of gets in the weeds sometimes. But we do that on your behalf so that we can be as efficient and effective with the gospel as we possibly can. This morning, we have a couple of items that we want to bring your attention to. We want to begin with our 2020 cooperative program budget. And again, it's more than just numbers. It really is about trusting God with resources that he's given to our local churches, to our state, and then with our partnership with the Southern Baptist Convention. Pastor Chad Rising of Blacks Creek Baptist Church has been the chairman of our budget committee this year, and he and Thomas Hammond will come and share with you now and walk you through this exciting budget for 2020.
Good morning. My name is Chad Rising, and so thankful to be here. Thomas and I are going to tag team this report this morning. It's a big one, and so it's going to take some double effort on our part today. I want to thank those members of the committee for the budget this year. Those members are Wayne Rowe, Perry Fowler, Quillian Mercer, Christopher Holdorf, Michael Lewis, Jim Patterson, myself, Will Cole, Mark Grindstead, Otis White, Stephen Williams, Ruben Torres. And we appreciate their extra work and effort in helping to put together this budget this year. The budget that you have been presented in your paperwork today reflects the core values of who we are as Georgia Baptists. And we want to remind you this morning that pastors are our heroes, churches are our priority, and Georgia is our mission field. Thomas, do you have anything to say about
that? Well, I will. Let me say this to you. This is something that has really become the heartbeat of your staff, the team that works for you. It's not a slogan. It's really and truly the core values that we work from. And we talk about how much we honor and want to honor and bless and encourage our pastors, because we believe with all our heart there's nobody in Georgia who has a job more important than what your job is. You preach the word of God, you're teaching the army of God, the people of God, the body of Christ, you're edifying them, you're equipping them, you're really, you're equipping them to do the work of the ministry. And so there's nothing more important in Georgia than the work of a pastor. And I'm going to tell you something. Your staff, I mean your Georgia Mission Board staff, is going to serve you in that capacity and also serve you in that manner. Also, churches being our priority, it's the body of Christ. Can you imagine Georgia without churches? Can you imagine Georgia without pastors? Now, I know that the world doesn't give us the honor that they should, and they never will, all right? We understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. We ought to bless each other, and we ought to encourage each other. And, you know, Paul tells us to exhort the brethren. And so we want you to understand that everything we're doing in our budget is really about pastors, about their families, and about our churches, that we might reach Georgia and the world with the gospel. And that's why we say Georgia's our mission field. Now, Georgia being our mission field is not going to eliminate us, or alleviate us is the better word, from the responsibility of taking the gospel to the entire world. We know that that's what we're called to do, but we want to reach Georgia and strengthen Georgia that we might go into all the world, and that is what the plan is. And you'll hear more about that in just a few moments. But thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We know that in this proposed budget, we are also wanting to align ourselves with our goals of strengthening churches, pastor wellness, strategic church planning, Georgia Baptist women, and research and development. And so our current priorities reflect the projections that we have for CP giving for 2019. Our total goal is $40,265,000 for the 2020 budget. We are proposing a $40,250,000 budget, and this is a reduction of $1,050,000 from the 2019 budget. But it does place the 2020 budget in line with the 2019 projection. The budget is allocated with 40%, $16,100,000 for Southern Baptist Convention Ministry. The remaining 60%, $24,150,000, is allocated to Georgia Baptist Convention Ministry. That's 13.51%. $5,436,335 will fund the Georgia Baptist Convention Entity Ministries, and 46.49%, $18,713,665 will fund Georgia Baptist Missions Board's ministries. 40% of the cooperative program receipts will be sent to Southern Baptist Convention. 40% represents $16,100,000. The disbursements reflected on this slide are based upon the vote of the Southern Baptist Convention in its annual meeting in past June. The 2020 budget will fund our Georgia Baptist colleges based on the approved recommendation of the Task Force on Educational Institutions that was approved at the annual meeting in November of 2017. We've all seen how important those institutions are. This slide, next slide, represents the information about our Georgia Baptist Convention entities and those ministries. They receive 13.51% of our cooperative program budget, $5,436,335. You can see from the slide how these monies will be distributed. $2,144,068 goes to Shorter University. $1,169,492 to Bruton Parker College. $1,169,492 to Truett McConnell University. $194,915 for Ministerial Education Fund for Student Scholarship. $12,192 supports the work of the Education Commission, and that is responsible for supporting the ministry of our universities and college. The additional amount for benchmark funding is $233,899. As we continue further, you'll see that our senior adult ministries, supported by the Baptist Village and Baptist Retirement Communities of Georgia, both receive $243,644. And our Georgia Baptist Foundation receives $25,000 for a total of $5,436,335. These Mission Extension ministries are unique in that they are governed by their own boards. The Georgia Baptist Convention does not determine how these monies are spent, and that is controlled by the leadership on their boards. The 2020 Georgia Baptist Mission Board Cooperative Program in total is $18,713,665. And that represents 46.31% of the cooperative program budget. There is also $450,000 of interest income and other revenue to supplement the CP allocations for a total of amount of $19,163,665. Each ministry budget contained the personnel, travel, and program costs for employees of each ministry. We have a few points here for you to note on this slide. Evangelism has increased from 655,000 as evangelism and revitalization in 2019 to $978,718 in 2020. Next Gen has increased from $476,423 in 2019 to $756,971 in 2020. Georgia Baptist Women has been elevated to a VP level, and we're excited about that. Our strategic planting is exciting also. Thomas, would you like to say a word about that?
I didn't hear what you said.
Would you like to say a word about our strategic planting? We have increased that resource there, and our pastors for budget for pastor wellness has increased $634,000 to $1,426,537. I think that says something about
it. It does. Let me say something to you about this. I can't hear a thing up here, so if somebody could help me out, that'd be great. And here's the reality. Working with our team, our staff, on building the budget for 2020, we began to do things completely different. In other words, we just started over. We haven't started over since 1955, was it, Toby? Something like that. And when we looked at the budget, there are a lot of times in which we just continue to budget, and that's fine. That's what we do. But when we wanted to look at, we're building a new system, and we're going to elevate some things like that haven't been elevated or that weren't, I don't think, weren't didn't have the resources that they needed. For example, evangelism and church strengthening and those kind of things. The reality is when we went back in, we retooled it to really hit the areas that we felt like were most important. In just a few minutes, we're going to roll out the whole new convention, so you'll see it more. And Mr. Chairman, that's why I'm kind of not saying as much as I did for the executive committee. But our desire is to do two things really as a major part of what we're doing, but there's more than two things that we're doing. The first one is pastor wellness, and I will talk to you about that in a little bit. The second thing is church strengthening. We feel like if we can do those two things extremely well, that's going to make a tremendous impact upon lostness and move, really expand the kingdom. And so that's where we're focusing a lot of our resources on. There's other things that we're doing that are critically important, but you get the heartbeat of where we're going. We're going to strengthen our churches, and we're going to strengthen our pastors. And that's what we feel is critical. Thank you.
We're excited to be able to present a budget to you that is aligning with our priorities and our goals. Continuing the breakdown of the budget, association and community missions, you see that slide there and how the breakdown is there also. Technology and property facilities, a conference center support services, those numbers are listed for you there. To highlight some ministries and key points in this area, of the 45 college campuses where we have BCM, we have buildings on 13 of those campuses. We have assets there. And conference center and support services help maintain the Georgia Baptist Mission Board property around the state. And we're thankful for how the Lord has blessed us with those properties. The next slide, you'll see the executive leadership team cost has decreased by $266,691 from the 2019 budget. There, we see those funds listed there. On the next slide, the total cost of employees has decreased from $941,544 in the 2019 budget. So 2020, we're running slimmer there. Here are a summary of the ministries on this next slide of the ministries for the 2020 budget for the Georgia Baptist Mission Board of $19,163,665. This slide next is a summary page breaking down the budget, once again reflecting the numbers that we have shared with you. The Mission Georgia offering of $1,300,000 also has been removed from the operational budget for 2020. And the goal is to use this new mission initiative for special needs. Thomas will be sharing a vision for that Mission Georgia this afternoon. In conclusion, I would like to for you to look at your budget brochure, where you will find the 2020 budget directions and procedures, the 2020 budget recommendations. When you approve the proposed budget for 2020, you will also be approving these items as well. Mr. President and Executive Director, thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve, and as the committee on the budget, CP budget, to share these, and this comes from the committee at this time.
We appreciate the diligent work of our budget committee, and you've heard their report, and I think now we'll make a motion that we accept this, but of course we'll also be glad to have Chad and Thomas Hammond answer questions as well.
So you hear this from committee. It does not need a second at this time. Is there any discussion? We don't see any. If none, then are you ready to vote? If so, would you take out your ballots, and all those who approve, would you please raise your ballot? All those opposed, like sign.
Amen, Andy. Thank you so much. And we do appreciate the work of that team. You heard a lot of numbers, a lot of information, but obviously it's so vital to us being on mission here in Georgia and accomplishing those purposes. Our second item of action for you in business is that I want you to hear from JoJo Thomas, who has been the chairman of our church membership committee. It's always exciting to see our family grow, so I invite Brother JoJo to come. He's our director of the Chattahoochee Baptist Association, and he and his team have some exciting news regarding the growth of our families here, church families, in the Georgia Baptist Convention.
Amen. On behalf of the membership team, I want to call your attention to a piece of paper that you received as you entered the hall today. And on it, you will find a list of 22 churches and four missions that are all becoming a part of our Georgia Baptist Mission Board family in the years between 2018 and 2019. With anybody I have a chance to speak to on this issue, I always call their attention to this one fact, that on this list of 22 churches that have already been approved by their local associations and are now a part of our family that we welcome today, that fully 50% or 11 of those churches would speak a language that is my language. 11 of those churches may reach people primarily that look like me, and 11 of those churches would represent our heritage, what has been our pattern all through the history of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board or Convention in reaching what was at that time most of our state. But the other 50% of these churches, the other 11, would speak a language that may not be English, and they would primarily reach out to people who may not look like me. And they represent, in many ways, what is the future of our opportunity, our great opportunity to reach all of Georgia, and we are excited to be able to welcome these churches as well this morning. So let me ask, if you are a member or a pastor, if you represent any of those churches or missions, if you're here in the hall this morning, I'm going to ask if you would you please stand so that we can welcome you? Would you all please stand together? Please show your welcome to these folks. And let me say, it is our joy to partner with you as we seek and look forward to being able to reach all of Georgia in the years ahead. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother JoJo. How exciting it is to see churches and missions and seeing people reach with the cause of Jesus Christ, lives being changed. That's what we're all about as Georgia Baptist. I want to draw your attention now into your book of reports. Pages 18 to 28 contain additional information from our executive committee actions throughout this year, and several items there that you'll want to look over. Hopefully you've had a chance to look at those. We also have some information there where you can locate the calendar. That's now available online, which is more efficient and more effective and more accurate, because things do change from time to time. So again, you have all of that information in your book of reports. So, Mr. President, we now move on behalf of the Executive Committee that we accept the rest of our report as it's found there in the Book of Reports.
Thank you, Andy. It comes from the committee. It does not need a second. Is there any discussion? There's no discussion, so if you're ready to vote for the Executive Committee report, if you'll take your ballots out, all those in favor will raise your ballots. All those opposed, like sign. So that is adopted. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you so much. Mr. President, I now want to invite our Executive Director, Thomas Hammond, to come and make his report on behalf of our Executive Committee, and I know you'll be excited and encouraged. So, Brother Thomas, we welcome you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me encourage all of you to take the book that you received when you came in, this blue book. If you don't have one, please raise your hand. We want to make sure every person, or at least every couple, has one of these to share. Our desire is to not only give these out now, but give them out for a while to teach people and show people the new structure, the new team, how to get in a hold of everyone that's working in areas to serve you. And here's our encouragement. Keep these. Take them home with you. You can jot notes down. If you have questions, write those down. Feel free to contact me or anybody who is on the staff that fits in with the area that you have a question for. Well, I'm going to tell you, this is a moment that I've been waiting for 11 months. And 11 months ago, January 1, I began as your state exec, coming on last October, but having the privilege to serve with Dr. White in the transition. Then in January, we heard and found some news that, or discovered some news that was concerning to us. We were going to be over $1 million below budget, and starting off, we had to make some very difficult decisions. And I think every pastor has had that moment in their life and ministry and know how difficult it is. But in those decisions that we had to make, we had to make a decision of, do we keep staff with no resources, or do we cut our staff and put more resources to the field? And so we decided it was time to start reducing our staff, the weight of our staff on our budget, that we might push more money to the field. And so we continued to do that. So now in January also, we began to schedule what we called listening sessions. And the listening was done by us, not by you. Our desire was to hear from our pastors. We had 17 of those listening sessions all across our state. And in those listening sessions, our desire was to hear from our pastors what their needs are, what their questions were, and what the needs and helps that they needed for their churches. The reality is we knew that we needed to change. You say, well, how did you know that you needed to change? Because the churches in Georgia were decreasing. In fact, our worship attendance in Georgia had decreased by 7% over the last few years, while the population of Georgia had grown to over 1 million. We knew we needed by 1 million, I'm sorry. We also knew that we needed to change because our baptisms had gone to a below 20,000, which is the first time we've been there in a long, long, long time. And so we knew that we needed to change, that we might respond to the needs of our pastors and their churches. But we wanted to hear from you what your needs were. We didn't want to come up with the idea or the thoughts or our best guess. We wanted your thoughts and wisdom. And so we ask questions like this at the listening session. What do we do, meaning your mission board team, what do we do well? And these are some things that you gave us. You told us that our staff was very responsive. We told us that we are helpful to churches that were in crisis or in transition. You said that we do a good job communicating to our churches. In fact, you said that we sometimes over-communicated, and I think you all can relate to that. We receive maybe multiple mailings of different events. But then there is another question that we asked you. What do we need to stop doing? You know, the character of an organization is not seen in what they do. It's seen in what they stop doing so that they can do what their call is or their passion is. And so we had some things that we knew we needed to stop doing. The first thing we were told is to let go of the building. You so affectionately call it the Taj Mahal, and so we are working hard to do that. The second thing you told us to do is to rethink church planting and coordinate better with the North American Mission Board, local associations, and local areas. And then the third thing you said to us was stop trying to be everything to everyone. Pick some things and do them very well. Lower what you're doing as far as the number of what you're doing, and then do it extremely well. The third question that we asked is, what do we do but need to do better? In other words, there are some things that we need to stop doing, but there's some things that we're doing, we just need to keep doing it, but just improve the quality with how we are delivering for our churches. You said we need to do better in the area of evangelism and revitalization. We need to help pastors deal with stress and potential for burnout. And you said we need to relate more to language and cultural groups. And then we went into some other questions like, what are the needs of pastors? What are your needs? And you gave us those. They're in your book there. And you asked, what are the specific needs of churches, the top needs of churches? And you gave those there in your book as well. And then the final question that we asked was this: what is the win for Georgia Baptist? I mean, across the board, if we said, hey, it's one thing, if we can do one thing, let's do this. And you resoundingly said this, to increase baptisms. The win for Georgia Baptist was to see more people coming to faith in Christ. And so we heard what you said, and we responded in developing this new structure. We had to restructure to change with what you're asking us, because, as I said earlier, because of the needs, because of what we were seeing as far as the results of baptisms and church growth and so on and so forth. Last year, our baptisms were below 20,000, and it represented 0.25% of the lostness of Georgia. In other words, last year, with the millions of dollars that we had, we moved back darkness 0.25%. And I think we can do much better than that. The reality is this: as we began to develop this restructuring, we came out, as you've heard many times, you're going to hear it until you're tired of it, because we believe this so strongly, and it's so important that we keep saying it, because once again, it is guidelines for how we work and how we serve and how we think. Pastors are our heroes. Churches are our priority. Georgia is our mission field. You'll see that in the teams that we develop. You see, pastors are our heroes. That's why we have a pastor wellness team. We also said that churches are our priority. That's why we have a church strengthening team and a strategic church planting team. And that's why we have the Georgia Baptist Women team. And then we also said that Georgia is our mission field, and that's why we have all these teams with that as well, the research and development team that you'll hear more about it. And so we'll see now on the map there that we have decentralized the state. In the selling of our headquarters, and we want to move away from the thinking that there is a Baptist headquarters in Duluth or anywhere in the metro Atlanta, because the headquarters is not a building. The headquarters is the church. You, as pastors, lead the headquarters for Georgia Baptist, and we serve you, period. We exist for this: to strengthen, encourage, resource, bless pastors and churches, period. And if we cease to do that, we need to go away. Why? Because we're putting a burden on you that you could take those resources and do some other things with. But our desire is to actually provide a return back to you far greater than what you give. And we're going to have to work very hard. We're going to have to work very smart, be very efficient and effective to actually produce that and to achieve that goal. We want to see our churches have an experience of turning around, of resurgence, of growth, of being more and more effective, of reaching their community, of being more effective in discipling their followers, their believers, and their members, and also reaching the next generation, and so on. And so we decentralized so that we could better serve our pastors and churches. We want to be closer to you, not further away. We want to be able to relate to what's going on in your context and not live in Duluth and in some way try to come up with an understanding of what's happening in Valdosta or what's happening in Macon or what's happening in Gainesville or what's happening in Augusta. You see, years ago, and I mean many years ago, when the structure was established, there weren't that many cultural differences in Georgia, and that you could live in Macon and have a pretty good idea what's going on in Valdosta or in Augusta or maybe even in Billerica and so on. But now in just Savannah alone, there are hundreds of different contexts and cultures. And so we need people that are there on the field, people that are living in those regions, that are walking alongside pastors and churches that can better relate and best relate to them. And so we created this structure that we might do a better job of serving you. And here's the other thing: becoming more effective. If all of your staff live in North Atlanta and then we have to drive anywhere below Atlanta, you know what happens, don't you? We have to cross the Amazon River called Atlanta. And if you do that at the wrong time, you can die, all right? But the truth is, most of our staff was spending more time in their cars than they were actually with pastors and on the field. That's why we're putting our people where you are, that we can better respond to you. We can respond quicker as well. And so I want to introduce to you different teams. And what we're going to do is literally go through our team, and you're going to meet what we call lead strategists. We have three areas of service. There's lead strategists. Those folks serve like vice presidents. They have teams. And then we have, under them, there'll be what we call catalysts. And those leaders have teams as well. And then we have people in the field, and those are the ones that are connecting with you, and those are our consultants. They're the ones that are running everywhere. They're the ones that are finding out the needs, and then they're telling us or telling their administrators, hey, here's what I'm hearing over and over again from pastors. The great thing is they're going to be giving us reports back from their visits with you saying, just met with this pastor, here are the needs for their church. Just met with these pastors, and here are the four things they said they need. We'll get these reports, and we'll begin to see a pattern. We'll begin to see what's happening in our churches and what the needs are and how we can best respond to the needs of our pastors and churches and resource them and take care of them. So that's why we're doing what we're doing. It's to better serve you. The first team I want to introduce to you is the Georgia Baptist Women Team. It's the combination of really what is Georgia, really Mission Georgia. I'm sorry, not Mission Georgia. They have Mission Georgia in there. But WMU, Women's Missionary Union, as well as Women's Ministry. We combined that years ago, and Beth Ann Williams had led that team and led it extremely well for a number of years. And they have so many things that they do. They raise millions and millions of dollars for missions and so many other causes that are so powerful. And so what we wanted to do is we wanted to raise Georgia Baptist women up to a very high level in our organization, because the truth is, if you want something talked about, talk to a man. If you want something done, ask a woman. Thank you, ladies. All right. Would you please welcome Beth Ann Williams. Beth Ann.
Okay. Well, good morning. Georgia Baptist Women does incorporate both Women's Missionary Union and Women's Ministry. And we realize that churches organize differently for missions and ministry for women. And we want to be there to serve you, to equip you, to encourage you, to just be the best resource to you that we can be. Because at the end of the day, our desire is to see every woman in a growing relationship with Christ and to see her living a life on mission for Him. We have a great team, and I'm honored to serve with women that I'd like to introduce to you now. The first one is Lorna Bias, new to our staff. Lorna is going to be serving as our Mission Georgia mobilizer, connecting our churches to the Mission Georgia initiatives. The next person I'd like to introduce you to is Tabitha Farrell. And Tabitha serves as our Camp Pinnacle Summer Missions Camp Director. Every summer we have camp for girls and teens at Pinnacle Retreat Center up in Clayton. And Tabitha leads that work for us. Next is Karen Pace. Karen serves with us in leadership, communications, and children's missions. Beverly Skinner is on our staff to work with our churches who have women's ministry, and then also to help us mobilize young women ages 18 to 35 in missions. And then not a new face to Georgia Baptist, but new under the Georgia Baptist Women umbrella is Paulette DeHart. Paulette will continue to lead our literacy missions. And then we have churches all over our state that we want to connect with. And we have some field practitioners and contract workers that help us do that. And I'd like for you to meet Joy Lee, who helps us with our Korean women. Sandra Rice, who works specifically with our Hispanic churches. And then Esther Grissom and Barbara Morris, who are our African American church liaisons. We have a great team, and we look forward to serving you.
This afternoon after lunch, we'll be having a time in which we're going to roll out for you the new focus and the initiatives that will be tackled through the state missions offering, Mission Georgia. And Georgia Baptist Women will be leading out on that. Please make sure you're back from lunch for that, because I believe it will encourage you. I believe it will bless your heart of how we're going to focus on these ills that sin has caused in our state, and we're going to turn some things around. The next team that I want to introduce to you is the Research and Development Team. If you'll think about the Georgia Baptist Mission Board as being an automobile, and every automobile has wheels and they have axles, well, Research and Development is the axle that allows the wheels to move so that the automobile can go. Without Research and Development, we cannot do what we do. They're in charge of all these different things, and I want John Courtney, who's leading this area, a tremendous gifted leader, to share with us a little bit more about the Research and Development Team. John?
Good morning. I'm John Courtney, and I'm super excited to be working for the Mission Board. I'm excited because I really believe that Georgia Baptist can change this state for Christ. I'm also excited because I believe Georgia Baptist can change this nation for Christ. I'm excited because I believe Georgia Baptist can change this world for Christ. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but there's 7 million people lost in the state. Have you heard that yet? Does that make you sad? It makes me sad. In 2018, we had 18,000 baptisms, and it is my goal that by the time I retire from the Mission Board, I'd like to see 180,000 people baptized each and every year. I think we can do that. Do you think we can do it, Robbie? It's my job at the Mission Board to resource, equip, and strengthen the Mission Board so that the Mission Board can resource, equip, and strengthen you guys. I'd like to introduce to you my team right now. I work with a great group of people. First up, we have Tom Kreitz. Tom Kreitz is not new to any of you guys. He's been here for about 20 years. He has a PhD in missiology, and he knows everything about research, about stats, about trends. He can tell you what's going on in your community, how it's growing, where it's growing. And if you do not know him, make an effort to find out where he is today and introduce yourself to him. Second up is Barry Dollar. Barry Dollar is over all of our websites. We're in the process of redesigning all of our websites. We want to redesign georgiabaptist.org. Not for our benefit, but for your benefit. When you come into work Monday morning and you've got a problem, I hope you go to the Word of God first, but I hope second you go to georgiabaptist.org because you realize that is a valuable resource for you and that will provide the answers that you need to do your ministry. Next up we have John Graham. John Graham is in charge of our video and audio production. He is a storyteller. As you guys know, the way we reach people is through story. We have wonderful stories that are taking place in the state of Georgia that are taking place in your churches and your associations, and we want to tell more of those stories because when we tell more stories about what God's doing, more people come to know Christ. Next up, we have Lloyd Humphrey. Lloyd may be our longest employed employee at the Mission Board. I know he's been with us for over 30 years. He handles print production, so if there's a piece that you get, chances are he printed that out for us. He does a super job for us. Next up, we have Scott Smith. Scott Smith is probably new to you, to many of you guys. He has been in our evangelism department, and we moved him from evangelism to resource design. He is doing a super job. He brings the perspective of everything we do needs to have an evangelistic feel to it. So the secret that Scott has is that every resource that he designs, whether it be for discipleship, missions, music, worship, he's baking evangelism in there. He's baking the gospel in there because we believe every resource we produce needs to bring people closer to the Lord. Next up, we have Mark Strange. Mark Strange has been with us for 5 years, and he's over communications and marketing. He comes to us from the corporate world, but I can tell you what his main goal is through postcard, through email, through website, whatever we put out, his goal is to make Jesus famous in the state of Georgia. Then we also have Linda Wilkins. Linda Wilkins has been with us for over 3 years. Everything we do has to be written. It has to be edited. She has a humongous job, but she makes sure that all is done well and does a super job. She is one of our superstars, and you guys are benefiting from some of her work today just with what's on screen and what's in print. We have a wonderful team. It is a pleasure to serve each and every one of you. So on behalf of our team, to the convention, and to Thomas, thank you so much for allowing us to serve you.
The next area that I want to introduce to you is strategic church planting. We've had a church planting team. We added the word strategic in that because we want to be more and more strategic in our church planting efforts. We know that there is a great need for churches in Georgia because of the growth of our state population-wise and because of the shifting, if you will, of our population. We know that there are places right now where we're seeing great growth with very few churches. And so we've got to plant churches in these areas, and we're going to do that. We're going to be doing some partnerships at an even higher level with the North American Mission Board. Our desire is to partner with them in these 5 areas. There'll be 5 areas that we're going to focus in on. First of all is recruitment. We don't want to sit back and hope people come to Georgia to plant churches. What we want to do is begin to start a I would call it a farm system, if you will, and it's a pipeline, and find the young men that would be best suited, prepared, that we feel that way, to begin to plant churches in Georgia. The second thing is, not only do we want to start recruiting and pursuing church planters, but we want to then begin to strategically look at our state and find areas that we desperately need churches, areas that are under-churched right now in our city, where there's been a transition of our population, or where the population is growing. And we want to get out ahead of that growth so that we can be prepared for it and ready for it when it comes. So we want to do that. The third area will be an assessment. That's where NAM comes in. NAM does the best job in the country of assessing church planters to find out if they have the aptitude and the personality and the gifts and the skill sets and the work ethic to be a church planter. So they will do all the assessment for us and let us know how well they feel that this person would do. And the second area is training. NAM does a phenomenal job in training. We're not going to reproduce what is already done. We're going to let NAM do all the training for us. And then the fifth area, once we place them where we want them to be, then we're going to be in charge of the follow-up, the follow care, the continuing to minister to that church planter and that family. You see, what isn't healthy is for a young man to say, I want to go plant a church in Atlanta. And he moves down from Ohio to Atlanta. And all of a sudden he says, I think I want to plant a church in Decatur. And what he doesn't know is there's already 8 churches being planted right there in about a 4-block area. And so his mother church is all the way back, 600 miles away in Columbus or Cleveland or wherever. What we want his mother church really close. Because I know mothers and they like their babies close. Amen? And so what we want to do is have a great deal of partnership where we are raising up churches in Georgia that will be that loving, nurturing, caring partner for those church planters and their families. We need to bless them. Can you imagine being a young person with a brand new wife or maybe a young wife and you got 2 or 3 kids and now you're going to a strange place and you don't really know anybody and they're saying, hey, plant a church. That is one of the most difficult things to do. And I believe that's why most of our churches that we plant fail. It's not because of resources, it's because they are really left to the wolves in some circumstances. And so we want to come alongside them and minister to them and encourage them that entire way. Just to say this, we're going to be extremely well prepared when we plant churches. I would rather plant 30 churches that are here till Jesus gets back than to plant 100 churches that are going to be dead in just 2 or 3 years. Amen. So it takes preparation on the front end to make sure that success takes place. We have 2 people that are still on the team. That's Dennis Rivera and Young Nam Su. They are already serving in this capacity and will continue to do so. And we have others that we're trying to, we're interviewing a lead strategist for that team. We've had several interviews and several great candidates for that position. So pray for us as we continue to fill that role. The next area that I want to talk to you about and introduce to you is Mark Marshall and the area of church strengthening. Mark has a vast experience with pastoring. He also served at Lifeway for many years. He's a very capable leader and has an extremely large team and very important job. So would you welcome Mark Marshall?
We are excited to be in Georgia. We're especially excited to be a part of Georgia Baptist Mission Board. And this time, I believe those of you sitting in this room be able to look back someday and say, I was there that day they introduced the new organization and where Georgia Baptist Mission Board was going. We exist as Georgia Baptist Mission Board. We exist for the churches. Our executive has stated that a few moments ago. Without the churches, we have no job. There's no purpose for us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:28, he had just listed all of the things that were pressures and concerns in his life. And he comes down to the end of that list, and he said, in addition to all these things, the shipwrecks, the beatings, the things that he had gone through, and the things weighing in on him, and he said, in addition to all of that is the responsibility for all the churches that I feel on a daily basis. And as God is assembling this team, and we're excited about that, you're going to meet them in just a moment, but as God is assembling this team, one of the things that we want to hear in each of them is a heartbeat that says, I'm willing to wake up every day and put into practice this thing about our pastors being our heroes and our churches being our priority. And we want to do all that we can to help them and strengthen them. And so we have 5 ministry areas. We have evangelism, we have discipleship, missions, music and worship, next gen. Those are all working in close partnership with our Baptist Campus Ministries, which is a part of our church strengthening area as well. And each of those areas are led by a catalyst. I'm going to introduce the catalyst. They are going to introduce their consultants who live, as our executive has shared, the strategy being we're coming and we will be close to you geographically. And so they are living in each of the six regions, and we'll be able to be with you, and you should be hearing from them if you have not already. I know we've already been face-to-face with about 700 of our pastors. We're excited about that. That's just since the end of September, and it is a good start. But I want to introduce each of our catalysts to you and let them introduce their team. First, I want to introduce to you our catalyst for discipleship, Scott Sullivan. Scott is a brand new Georgian, so when you see him, make sure that you introduce him to Georgia. He came from Louisiana, Houghton, Louisiana, First Baptist Church, where he served a number of years, was a discipleship pastor there, a sought-after leader and speaker in the area of discipleship. We're excited to have him. So, Scott, if you would, I'll let you introduce your team.
Well, my wife and I are excited to be here from Louisiana, and on behalf of Coach O and the LSU Tigers, we send our greetings and condolences to the Bulldog Nation. Already making friends, Dr. Hammonds. I'm just kidding. We are super excited. I've even got a driver's license from Georgia now, so I'm ready to roll. But friends, listen, our discipleship team exists to do three things right now. First, we want to listen. We want to listen to what's happening in your church. We want to sit across from you and know what's happening in your heart, with your wife, with your children, and in your ministry. We want to celebrate the wins, but we also want to help you problem solve in your church. The second thing we want to do is we want to learn. We want to learn from you what's happening, what's working in your church, and then we want to celebrate those wins and share those with other Georgia Baptist churches. But we're also learning what's happening across the nation, and we're bringing those things in to give you options to choose from when you ask us, how can I do whatever? The third thing we want to do is launch. We want to help you raise disciple makers that will move towards spiritual maturity, that will impact your church, your community, this state, and the globe with the gospel. Now, the team we have so far in the Northwest region, we have Dr. Tim Smith. Tim is one of the brightest minds in discipleship, not just in Georgia, but across the nation. If you are in the Northwest region, you need to call this guy. And when you sit across from him, it won't take you 2 minutes to know that this guy is the best of the best in your region. We'll also have Mike Taylor. I affectionately call him Tiny because he's like 6'15" tall. And when you sit with him, it's not his size that's going to impress you. Mike is what I call a second mile leader. He does whatever it takes to help churches move forward. You will love him. He will care for you. But listen, on our discipleship team, we are honored to serve. And we want you to know this, Pastor. You are not alone. We're on a journey, and we are here to help and serve you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Next one I get to introduce to you, many of you do not need an introduction to our evangelist catalyst, and Levi Skipper was the pastor of Concord Baptist Church in Claremont, Georgia, most recently, but has served churches here in Georgia, and he is, as he was at Concord and leading Concord, one of the leading churches in baptisms in our state. I don't know about you, but when I want to hear somebody speak about something, I want to hear somebody that's actually done it. Levi has done it. I'll tell you, not only did he stop, he did not stop doing this when he stopped pastoring. Been with him a number of times. When he carries on that heart of evangelism and witnessing and sharing with the people that are around him, we are honored to have Levi leading our evangelism team. So, Levi Skipper, if you would introduce your team.
Yeah, grateful to be here this morning, and also realize that I was brought on staff because I have a full head of hair, and they needed someone to represent. But anyway, listen, we are excited about what the Lord's doing in the life of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board, and I'm excited to be able to serve as the evangelism catalyst. Our goal really is to help elevate evangelism as a culture in the life of every single church in this particular state. We also want to resource you, help you with personal evangelism. You as a pastor and a leader, you have a great call of God upon your life. to equip your church family to be missionaries where God has planted them. So we want to come alongside you and really invest in your life so that you can better equip your church family. And so today it's a great privilege that we are going to have six evangelism consultants serving in the regions in the state of Georgia. One of those you will not see a picture of because he's not onboarded yet, but he will begin in January. His name is Rick Bisadecki. He comes from Missouri. He's been a church planter, phenomenal leader, and has a great heart for evangelism. He'll be in our northwest region. But in our northeast region, we have Steve Foster. Steve Foster is serving there. God has his hand upon this individual. He's been a great source of encouragement in my own life personally. He's a pastor. He's also served as an evangelist, and now he's going to come alongside you and invest in your life. And next, we also have brought on board Richard Bumpers. Richard Bumpers is serving in our West Central region, also a phenomenal leader, great soul winner, has served as a pastor in the past, and is going to do a phenomenal job in the West Central region. And then next, we have Brad Marchman. Brad Marchman has served as a pastor at Lawrence Drive Baptist Church for many years in Macon, Georgia. He's serving in our East Central role. He's got a great heart for evangelism and always has a phenomenal idea on how we can do things better. So I'm grateful to have him on the team. And then we have Tim Williams. He's serving in the Southwest region in the area of evangelism. And Tim Williams has a heart for Jesus. Every time I get around him, I want to be a better soul winner. If you know him, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He's preached over 1,000 revivals in the history of his ministry, and we're blessed as Georgia Baptists to have him on board with us. And then we have Randy Molinax. He's serving down in the southeast region of the state, and God has also used him in my life personally, and I know these men have just made such an impact on me, and so I'm grateful that he's a part of the team, and I know he's going to continue to do great things for the state of Georgia. So we're here to help serve you any way that we possibly can, and we're grateful to be a part of this great staff.
Thank you, Levi. And next, the next area I want to introduce to you is the area of missions. We're really excited about all that God has for our churches in the area of missions. And the gentleman I'm going to introduce is Buck Birch. In a short time that I've been at Georgia Baptist Mission Board, I have come to love this man, love his heart, and his heart for missions, but his heart for people, and just willing to open his life and his office at any time that I want to go by there and have somebody just to share with and talk with. And so, Buck, it is good to have you and leading this team in missions. You would introduce your team.
Thank you, Mark. You know, I love Acts chapter 1, verse 8, because it talks about when you get saved and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord gives you the power to be witnesses for him, both in your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Because of that, we want to have a mission strategy for Georgia that is all-encompassing, like Acts chapter 1, verse 8, both locally, statewide, nationally, and internationally. So I'm excited to tell you this morning that there are a lot of new plans to encourage and strengthen your church by having consultants come walk alongside you to help increase your missional engagement within your local church. On a local end, we can point to our associational missionary strategists for statewide efforts. We can point to new church plants. Nationally, we've got some exciting partnerships, both with the North American Mission Board and some other state conventions where regions can partner churches to churches to help them in their missions efforts as well. And internationally, we're going to focus on Central and South America. That doesn't mean that you need to back away from whatever it is you're doing currently, but if you're not engaged in an international setting, we're going to come alongside you and help you know how to partner with each other, with other churches, to reach Central and South America for the Lord. And that includes even having some free Spanish resources to help your people know how to say hola. Now, I'm excited this morning also to mention to you that we will have these consultants in your region working alongside you. So the first one I want to introduce is Keith Ivey. Keith is no stranger to Northeast Georgia. As a matter of fact, he served for about 21 years in the local church itself, but also the last 14 years has been involved in mountain resort ministries as well as being an area missionary. So we're excited that Keith will be serving in Northeast Georgia. In East Central Georgia, we have Jeff Gonger. Jeff, most recently, even after having been a lead pastor for over 25 years, has been the lead pastor at Mount Zion Baptist in Snellville. Fayetteville. And so he comes to us to be missions consultant for East Central Georgia. Down in Southwest Georgia, we have Samuel Ayala. Samuel is has been the Hispanic pastor for Hebron Baptist Church for the last 6 years. And now he is in his family or moving down to the Albany area. And I said that right, it's Albany. So they're going down there and they're going to be helping the southwest part of Georgia with their missions efforts. And then in the southeast, you guys already know Eric Rantz. He's been the pastor for a number of years, about 12 years if I'm right, at First Baptist Ludowice. And now with his missions heartbeat for all of southeast Georgia, he's going to be working in the area of missions to help engage the churches, to engage the world. And we're excited because God's bringing the nations to us, but our church is also being mobilized to the nations. Thank you, Mark.
Next area would be our next generations area. We know, we understand that this is a time and a season in a person's life as they are young, when they are most open to the gospel. And so we understand the significance of making sure that this area is shored up. We are not yet ready to announce the catalyst in our next gen area, but we hope to be doing that soon. But I do want to introduce you to three consultants that are already a part of that team. The first is Jenny Carter. And Jenny has been working with Georgia Baptist Mission Board for some time. And Jenny is a specialist in the area of childhood and childhood ministries. And so we're excited to continue to have her. She is actually going to be kind of statewide. We have a lot of VBS trainings that are coming up and our weekday education and so on. So Jenny will be more statewide right now than she is in a region. We also have Mike Ricks. Mike served as a student pastor and one of our local churches, did a fine job there. He's been with Georgia Baptist Mission Board for a few years. Many of you that are next-gen folks know Mike and his leadership there, and we appreciate him. And then finally, we have Cameron Wilkins. And Cameron has been with us a little over a year at Georgia Baptist Mission Board, but Cameron is an off-the-wall creative guy. I would encourage you to meet with Cameron, a leader who has been a family pastor, so he understands everything from student ministry all the way down to birth, and we're glad to have him on our team as well. The next area I want to introduce is our worship, music and worship area, and it is led by someone that, again, you don't need any introduction to, is Georgia Baptist, many of you. John Duncan has been with us over 10 years now, and serving in leadership in this area. And one of the things I'd say about John is I really appreciate the heart that I've come to see that John has for true worship, no matter what style you may be, but really in worshiping the Lord. And I appreciate his leadership in that area. So John, if you would introduce your team.
Thank you. It's truly a joy to be able to serve you all. And I want to say thank you for the privilege that I have of serving Georgia Baptist nearly 18 years ago, moving from Oklahoma to discover really what the heartbeat is of Georgia, to worship God and to make him known. And it is our desire that first and foremost that we come along, pastors and worship leaders around the state, no matter what the size of church or congregation, that we might help strengthen the worship life of your church for two reasons. First and foremost, to exalt Christ above all things, and that the worship is defined as first and foremost biblical, that it is centered in truth and in the Spirit so that it can impact the lives of people. Second is that it so generates a culture within the congregation that says, I must get this information that I have, this relationship that I have with Jesus Christ outside the walls of the church, so that our worship has an outward dimension as much as it has an upward dimension. And when we see that, I believe we'll see the kind of results that we're hoping to see, that God wants us to have in our worship life and in our evangelism. And I'm so blessed to be able to work with two people in particular that have this same heartbeat. The first is Nick Duke. And Nick came to us in just recent years to serve in the area of helping to strengthen churches that have a more contemporary worship expression. And he is very gifted in this area, and he has a heartbeat for the church, no matter what the style or the size. And also, he is very gifted in the area of technology. He has been all over the state already. He'll continue to be doing that work. And also training people like me in areas of technology, and I need it desperately. But he can be a great advocate for you as well. And we're also blessed to have Keith Chandler, who was one of the first hires that I had the privilege of making several years ago, to bring him on board. He has a heart in particular for the smaller church that might have a bivocational staff, comes alongside with effective training and works with them. And I believe that represents about 75% of all of our churches. He also has a heart for our music camps and the training of next-gen students. And he develops things like youth choir festivals and instrumental work. So he comes along with a lot of gift sets, and they're both available to serve statewide. Now, at some point, I'll be privileged to be able to introduce the six part-time consultants that will be coming on board to get as close to the church as possible. And we are very excited about this new structure as it allows us to impact more churches and be more quickly available to you. So thank you again for the privilege of serving you, Georgia Baptist.
The final area I want to introduce to you is our collegiate ministries, campus ministries, and it is led by none other than Joe Graham. Joe's been with us for quite some time. We're privileged to have Joe as he continues to lead in this area. We do believe our campus ministries, if they're stronger, our churches will be. If our churches are stronger, our campus ministry should be as well. So, Joe, if you would, introduce your team.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning, Georgia Baptist. It is my joy to work with your and our campus ministers around the state. We have 16 full-time campus ministers, another 7 part-time. We have interns. We have volunteers. Today, if you love college students and want to be involved, come see me because we'll put you to work too. I am assisted in our office by Clarissa Morrison. She is our person who does missions, does collegiate missions. That includes summer missions. It includes challenging students to be involved in missions after college. If it's missions, it's Clarissa. She also helps with the events that we have. We're going to put a chart up of all the various places where there are campus ministers. I'm pretty sure you can't see that very well, but there are 45 dots showing the locations of campus ministers around our state. Here's what I'm very proud of. Long before the regional concept came, these are your campus ministers who've been in your regions all along. And isn't anybody having to move to come to you? They're already among you. I do want you to know that every time you hear the number 7 in 10 are unsaved, every one of these campus ministers work in an environment where that's not true. It's actually much worse than that. The average college campus we treat these days as an unreached people group. We're figuring out the ways to penetrate the different parts of that campus, and it is our joy. I'm not going to introduce them all individually, and some of them are working the backpacks, but if you're one of our Georgia Baptist campus ministers, would you stand where you are? And I want to give folks a chance to say thank you to you all. Thank you, Georgia Baptist. We love you.
Well, that's team. God is assembling and continues to assemble. And we have said several times, we want to be there for you. So we're going to let you test us in that, all right? I want you all to take out your phones real quick. Let's do this real quick. Take out your phones. You're going to see a number that is on the screen. You can also find this in your books as you will find that later. But I want you to type if you would like to make sure that we're going to follow up on the promise to make sure we're going to follow up with you. Simply type, as you'll see there, get started. And there'll be a couple of questions that'll pop up. You can answer those, and we will get back in touch. The really fun part about this is, if you'll all do that at the same time, all these messages are going direct to Thomas Hammond's phone, and this ought to be a blast. See if he can do this. But thank you for allowing us to serve you. We look forward to meeting you if we have not already done so.
Thank you, brother. So you just heard from your church strengthening team. Let me help you as you process this. Because there are some of you who say, well, Thomas, I don't have an evangelism person. I don't have a discipleship person. I don't have a missions person and so on. Well, that's why you have these people. Because you have folks in your church that may have a passion or a bent toward these activities. So here's what we want to encourage you to do, Pastor, because you've already got a plate full. The last thing we want to do is add something more to your plate. We want to encourage you to, you pick your dream team and we'll train your dream team. You say, these are the folks that I believe could lead well in discipleship, lead well, and probably most of our churches, in fact, I know most of them will be in, volunteers. That's wonderful, praise God. But they'll take, with a great passion, they'll take that responsibility. We'll provide for them not only the training, but also resourcing, and continue to help them as they strengthen your church in the area of discipleship, outreach, missions, next gen, and so on and so forth, and music. Now, let me just give you a stat that I think will concern you as well. We have been very heartbroken about the number of baptisms we've seen with teenagers, how it's been decreasing over the years. Well, in, out of 3,600 churches in Georgia, only around 500 churches have a paid staff person that's got the responsibility of reaching students. Only 500 out of 3,600 churches. And so there's a lot of volunteers in our churches all across the state that are helping with teenagers. Maybe it's a retired postman or a school teacher. Maybe it's a fireman. Hopefully you have a policeman in there too. But anyway, here's the reality. You've got folks who want to work with them, but they say, what do I do? How do I reach them? And that's why we have a next gen team and on and on. Listen, these teams exist for your church and will help you any way you want us to. This is about you. It's not about us. You tell us what you need. We respond to you. Can I get an amen? Pastor Wellness is the other team that we're going to be introducing to you right now. Pastor Wellness is critically important. Involved in Pastor Wellness are multiple areas. Tim Dowdy, who was the pastor of Eagles Landing First Baptist Church. In fact, last Sunday just celebrated his 30th year pastoring that church. You think Tim Dowdy's got some stick-to-itness in him? 30 years. When he went there, they ran 30 people, and now it's a large and growing church. So he's pastored a church of 30 and of other sizes as well. But he's done it at one location. He's going to do a phenomenal job. He could not be here today because he's in Puerto Rico working with the churches that are being planted. They're planting, I think it's 11 churches right now in Puerto Rico. And this is the first time that churches have been planted in Puerto Rico by Southern Baptist in many years, sadly. But praise God, we're responding to the needs. They are brought on by the storm, and there's a great deal of excitement and momentum with church planting. And Tim Dowdy's been leading that. He's got a video. He's made a video that he wants to just say a few words to you. So let's watch this video together.
Hi, my name is Tim Dowdy, and in just a couple months, January of the year 2020, I'll begin serving in a brand new role as the lead strategist for Pastor Wellness with the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, let me introduce myself. My wife, Christy, and I have been married 36 years. Our son, Micah, and his wife, Kelly, have blessed our family with two wonderful grandsons, Wyatt, who's 4, and Jack, who's almost 2. We moved to Georgia in 1989. Where I began serving as the pastor of Koinonia Baptist Mission, a newly formed church plant in the heart of Henry County with about 60 members. We changed the name to Eagles Landing First Baptist Church, and over the last 30 years, I've had the privilege of being the pastor there. When I think about that, I think about the opportunity that's now before me to serve as the lead strategist for Pastor Wellness for the Georgia Baptist churches. And I'm excited about that because it's such a distinct honor to be a pastor. But it's also a battle. You're standing on the front lines of the battle every single day, and so is your family. And so we want to come alongside you and pray with you and stand with you and walk with you through it all. So whether it's about your personal health physically or your family or your finances or leadership or preaching, whatever is involved in your life as a pastor, we want to stand with you. We want to serve you so that you can fulfill the call that God has placed on your life. So I look forward to working with you, and I look forward to getting to know you. Pray for me as I learn what it's going to take to fulfill the responsibilities of this new role, and we work together to impact Georgia with the gospel of Jesus. And pray for our church family as I pass the baton to a new pastor at Eagles Landing, that we will continue to serve the Lord well here in holding out the gospel of hope to the world. I can't wait to get to know you. I can't wait to see all that God's going to do. I look forward to serving you in this new role as the lead strategist for Pastor Wellness with the Georgia Baptist Mission Board.
So in, go ahead, you can hit that show. I'll text him and say that his video got a lot of applause. I'll say that too. So pastor wellness, five areas that we're focusing in on. First of all, a pastor's spiritual health. You know, there's the assumption that pastors are healthy spiritually. But I can tell you, as a former pastor, there are some times in which I wasn't so healthy spiritually because I was pouring out all the time. And if there was nothing pouring in, there were some times in which I felt really dry. Can I get a testimony witness back to you? Yeah. I needed somebody who was pouring into me. And the sad reality was I had very few streams pouring in. I needed more and more help with that. So we want to help pastors to continue to grow spiritually. Your spiritual growth is critically important to your spiritual growth of your church. But we also want to help pastors in the area of physical health. You see, every pastor is under a great deal of stress, and we all have our own mechanisms by which we handle stress. Sometimes our mechanisms aren't the most healthy. And because of that, it has an effect upon our bodies. And the physical body is what God has given us to carry the gospel all across Georgia and all across the world. And so if our bodies aren't functioning at full capacity, we're going to do less than what we could. And so we want to help pastors to actually think about their diet and their exercise, their sleep. All these things are so important. And you can't really separate until you die your spiritual from your physical. And so we want to make sure we're helping you with that. We're actually putting together a team of people that will be helping pastors with their physical health. So we're looking at not only the physical and the spiritual health of the pastors, but we also want to help with the relational health of every one of our pastors. Most of our pastors are married. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Because I can tell you right now, I would have not been one-tenth of the pastor that I was. Now, I wasn't much, but I wouldn't have been one-tenth of the pastor I was without my wife. Not only was she prayerful and supportive, my biggest cheerleader. And here's the reality. The church can become a dividing or have a dividing impact between a pastor and his wife. The church can be seen as something that's getting far more attention and affection than the wife. And so, honestly, we've already seen the stats from Lifeway. We already know that ministry has had an effect upon a pastor and his family. We know that. And you know what? Most pastors... Well, let me say it this way. Most pastors' wives didn't marry preachers. They married plumbers who became preachers. And they said, man, I got tricked. And here's the reality. Every pastor, or most of our pastors, have gone through some level of training and equipping and preparation to be in the ministry. We have people who are mentoring us and coaching us and saying, hey, be prepared for this. This is going to happen. Don't be shocked if some sheep don't live up to what they say they're going to do. Don't be shocked if they turn on you or lie about you. So you're prepared. But I'm going to tell you what. For my wife, she was working while I went to seminary. She wasn't in the classes. She didn't have the time of camaraderie and iron on iron. She was working so that we could have an apartment and have food to eat. And so for most pastors' wives, they're just kind of thrown into it. And the truth is they're shocked by how they're treated. Few pastors' wives even have what they would call close friends. And so we want to create an environment and in this team of pastors' wives as well, a pastor's wives wellness team that's actually working in all the regions, helping pastors' wives to have a safe place to go and to share and to really and to whatever they need to do to get through some of the challenges that they experience every day by being a pastor's wife. But the truth is also, preachers' kids feel the same type of treatment often. They live in what we call the fishbowl, and the fishbowl can have a terrible effect upon you, on your children. And so what we want to do is help preacher's kids as well handle the pressures of being a preacher's kid. Listen, if your family's functioning at full capacity, does that lighten your load to pastor better? Of course it does. If your marriage is strong, does that help you do more for the King? Of course it does. And so we're going to do all these things to help strengthen you relationally with your family. But here's the other area, vocationally. We're going to pour into our pastors by providing equipping, training, mentoring, coaching, resourcing to help you. And so all these things we're talking about is going to take time to build. You understand this? We didn't just snap our fingers and say, okay, there it is. This is not instant coffee. But we are going to be working very hard, as we have been for the last 11 months, to develop these things to help pastors. Pastors, I'm going to say it again, we're making it all about you and your family and your churches, because you're making it all about Jesus and helping to reach this state and the world with the gospel. One of the areas we also want to help with, and the fifth area, is finances. Now, pastors don't make a lot of money, but if they handle it well, it helps to go a little further. And so I've met several months ago with Guidestone, the leadership of Guidestone, and in this discussion, we were talking about the new strategy and the new structure for the Georgia Baptist Mission Board, and they said, well, what do you want from us, or how can we help? I said, well, here's what I want. I want a full-time Guidestone person in our building, in our office, working for just Georgia Baptist pastors and their staff, and that's it. And they said, well, we don't do it like that. And I said, well, you asked me what I wanted. That's what I want. And I want to introduce to you right now, Brother Sean, come on up if you will. Sean DeVore is here with us. He's with Guidestone. I want him to say a few words to you. He'll be moving here in just January. And folks, would you please welcome Sean from Guidestone?
Oh. Well, thank you. Thank you. I am privileged and honored to take on this role. Let me just tell you a little bit about myself. As Thomas mentioned, my name is Sean DeVore. I've been on staff at Guidestone for 18 years, and on my journey for this last 18 years, I've had five titles. Done the same job, five titles, go figure. Financial advisor, which is what I am, I'm a financial advisor. Senior relationship manager, area director, and director. And I always said those are just fancy titles for a servant, because that's exactly what I am. I'm a servant to you, I'm a servant to your ministries, I'm a servant to the kingdom, and like Thomas has mentioned, you are the priority. So I get a chance to come alongside and now be more personable. I've, again, come out here over the last 18 years, but when you fly in and fly out, you don't get a chance to be as personal as you will, as I will be when I move here. So as Thomas mentioned, he asked a simple question, and he got what he asked for. But I'll be honest with you. He asked that question 3 months ago, but I knew I would be here when I was 13 years of age. Now, let me explain this, because I didn't know I would be here, but I knew I would be here. I was sitting in a church about half this aisle, and there was a family on stage. We had just experienced somewhat of a tragedy in our church. Within a month and a half, we lost our pastor as well as our associate pastor, untimely deaths, and the families were basically in the pulpit asking for the church for financial assistance. And I remember asking at 13 years of age, how can two men of God, without judgment, leave their families in this situation? They love the Lord, they love their family, they love the kingdom, but I didn't understand how they left their families in this situation. And I remember a voice almost as audible as I am right now saying to me, because they needed to do their part, and they failed to do it. So at 13, I said to myself, when I get older, I'm going to help people do their part. So that's exactly the journey I've been on. Now, I got a little bit off track, but God brought me back into my journey. 18 years, been at Guidestone. So I am honored to be on that journey with you now as you get a chance to do what you've been called to do in the kingdom. I get a chance to come alongside you, work with this incredible team of the Baptist Georgia Baptist Mission Board, and serve you with excellence. So while you've already saw the video of Dr. Hawkins and all the things that we offer, I once again bring greetings from all the staff back in Dallas. Personally, I get a chance to say I'm here to serve you. So in the future, going forward, if there's anything that you need regarding your retirement or non-retirement needs, call me. If there's anything that you need with your medical, life, or property insurance, call me. Pastors, if there's anything that you need with housing allowance or Social Security questions, call me. If there's any questions that you need regarding how the U.S.-China trade war or the political acrimony or the 2020 elections may affect your retirement account, call God, because I don't have the answer to that. Well, other than that, I'm here to serve you. So God bless you. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, brother. Glad you're here. Love you, buddy. Thank you. Amen. Sean and I are going to be traveling around Georgia a lot. In fact, where we are in the sense of providing these opportunities for you as pastors in Pastor Wellness, Godstone's going to be there too. We're grateful for the partnership we have with them. Right now, we presently have two people on the Pastor Wellness team. We have Marty Youngblood, who's serving in the Southeast region, and we have Mary Cox, who's been serving for a number of years in the Pastor's Wives Ministry area, providing retreats and luncheons and other opportunities to serve and strengthen our pastor's wives. And we appreciate so much their faithfulness to serve. Now, let me tell you as well, we have 1,200 pastors who are bivocational. Now, friends, when we say that pastors are our heroes, we say that bivocational pastors are our superheroes. And we've actually developed a team now of three full-time staff who are devoted just to bivocational pastors. They'll be visiting with them. There'll be times in which they'll be hearing their needs and helping to respond to their needs. So if you think about pastor wellness and you think about ministering to pastors, you'll see these three men coming to connect. And they'll be serving in these different areas. Now, you have Harris Malcolm, who'll have the northern two regions. And then you have Charles Drummond, who'll have the central two regions. And then Mike Everson has the southern two regions as well. We're also working with three contract pastors that will be working with our Latino pastors. And they'll be serving in the same capacity of ministering to, encouraging, strengthening our Latino pastors, their churches, and even helping in church planting and every other aspect. And we've also brought on just recently a staff member who will be helping in the area of African-American relationships with our pastors and churches. And so we're excited about the diversification of our staff because Georgia is diversified, and I know that we all know this, but we can't reach Georgia if we're not reaching everybody. Amen? At this time, I want to ask Dr. White to come up, and he'll be here just for a few moments. Dr. White, of course, has been the state exec for Georgia for 27 years. Am I right? 26 years. I gave you an extra one. And then now he's been called to serve at our healthcare foundation. He's the CEO there. There are a number of things that I'm going to go down the list. If you have your notebooks, I need you to follow along with me because there are so many resources that we have for our pastors that as I talk to pastors about it, they say, I never heard that. Kind of like your church members when you said, oh, by the way, we're having this, and they say, well, I never knew that. Well, we have written it down for you so that you will see a lot of the ministries that we're providing for you. One of the ways in which we're able to provide a lot of the things we're doing is because of the healthcare foundation that provides those resources. So, Dr. White, would you share with us? And would you all please welcome Dr. White?
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you. God bless you, brother. Thank you. I appreciate Thomas and Carrie and the wonderful leadership among Georgia Baptists now for many years. And Thomas, I'm praying for you as God has his hand upon you and upon your ministry, and I love the vision. We're delighted as the Georgia Baptist Healthcare Ministry Foundation to come alongside you and all Georgia Baptists in supporting wellness for our pastors and for their wives and for their families. Not just those who are in active ministry, but also those who have retired and been retired for some time. We're acutely interested in providing for our ministers and their families. I'm glad to say that Thomas serves as a permanent member of our Georgia Baptist Healthcare Ministry Foundation Board as our secretary and treasurer. In October, our board met and talked about the various grants. We had over 80 grant requests that came to us. A number of those came from our Georgia Baptist Mission Board. And Thomas, I want to present to you today a representation of the vote of our Healthcare Ministry Foundation Board to supply needs for pastors' wellness and for their families, both active and retired, for this coming year of $721,099. We pray that God will use that to his glory. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm also excited to say that we have been acutely interested in the wellness of our pastors and their families now for, all the years since the foundation was begun. Our first year of operation was in 2006. And for Georgia Baptist Mission causes, our foundation has granted $52,728,554 over the course of these years since 2006. We love Georgia Baptist. We're excited about Georgia Baptist Ministries. And Thomas, it's a great joy to partner with you and your staff as we do this great work. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to do what every good pastor should do when they receive a check. I'm going to hand it over to somebody else. Amen? All right. Miss Jill, can I give this to you? Aren't you thankful that years ago, God gave the understanding and wisdom to our leaders to form the Healthcare Foundation, and we'll continue to partner with them for a number of years. Let me share with you a few things as you look at your booklet. We're providing a minister's wellness retreat. This is for pastors who do not have health care. And this will actually have, I'm going to ask Marcus Merritt to come up and explain for that in just a few moments. And it'll provide some health care needs for our pastors who do not have health care insurance.
Yes. Thank you so much, Thomas. For 10 years now, we've provided a retreat, a place where pastors can come and receive all the medical attention that they need. Pastors' wives can come as well. We're so grateful for the Health Care Foundation that makes this possible. We hold this retreat at Toccoa every year. All we ask is that you register, and we'll take care of everything from there. And we have seen over 150 pastors every year come through this healthcare. We've actually seen pastors who are on the verge of what could have been a terminal situation that's been discovered at this healthcare foundation-sponsored retreat, and we've actually seen lives saved. We're so grateful for all of those that's had a hand in bringing this together. Thank you, Thomas, for letting us continue that.
Amen. Thank you, Marcus. Now, there are also going to be three other retreats for pastors and their wives, and this will be a pastor's wellness and pastor's wives' wellness retreat. We're going to be discussing matters of spiritual health, but physical health as well, and other matters, so be aware of that. There will be a pastor's banquets that will be across our state, bivocational pastor's retreats. There will be minister's wives' retreats, and so many other things. Information there, you can go to the Georgia Baptist website. There's also retreat areas for our pastors. There's a conference at the Conference Center in Toccoa. A pastor can take a personal retreat and his spouse for two nights, all meals included, everything's paid for. Pinnacle Retreat provides a one-bedroom furnished apartment for pastors and their spouses for $27 a night. Meals are not included. And then Stillwater Pastor Retreat provides cabins for pastors and their families. It's a place of rest and a place just to recharge your physical batteries for you. You can find out more information through Marcus Merritt on that. Now, let me talk to you about something else. It's called the Shepherd's Fund. It's there in your book. This is a new initiative, and I'm so thankful for Jimmy Blanton, who was actually instrumental in this coming to Georgia Baptist. He's the associational missionary for Columbus. But now, listen to this. For retired pastors and their spouses, they can qualify for a one-time grant of $10,000. And this is for those, and help me if I'm right on this, where did Marcus go? This is for the Shepherd's Fund, one-time grant. Am I right for this? The Shepherd's Fund, one-time grant? Okay, for $10,000, you can find out. Now, Guidestone also offers disability benefits, survivor protection, and tax advice for all of our pastors. So if your church is involved in the cooperative program, those benefits are already provided for you. Now, there's also the Roy Hinchey Fund. This is helping pastors who have been terminated, a one-time gift of $1,000. And then there's some other things that I want to share with you about. We are providing counseling. We're working on that as well. Marcus Merritt can help you with that, with church ministry relations. And then there's some other scholarship funds that will be coming up as well. I want to talk to you. I'm going to ask Jonathan Gray. He's the CEO of the foundation, the Georgia Baptist Foundation, to come up and talk about a couple of things that the foundation will be providing for all of our pastors.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be with you this morning. As you may know, for years we have helped Georgia Baptists with their estates so that they could be good stewards of the blessings that God has given them and take some of those assets and put those back to work in kingdom ministry. But one of the things that we do for pastors that you may not be aware of is that if you're a pastor and you do not have an updated estate plan, then we're here to help you get your estate plan updated at no cost. And so if you're in Georgia and you're north of Macon, then Sam Warner is the individual that will be able to help you with that. If you're in kind of level with Macon or in Macon and south, a staff member by the name of Nathan Russell is here to help you with that. And so we would be more than happy to assist you with that. It was very interesting. About a year and a half ago, one of our staff members helped one of our pastors and his family get their estate plan. And little did we know that 8 months later, he would have a massive heart attack and die. And it's probably the first time that I can recall in my years of working with the Georgia Baptist Foundation that there's been that close of time that has passed from the time we actually helped with the estate plan and when the pastor had passed away. And so it was just a great privilege for us to be able to work with his spouse and family to try to help them during that difficult time. So it is very important, and so we want to encourage you to do that. The second thing is that I know that some of you here are younger pastors and you have younger children. Let me just encourage you. Sometimes we come across younger pastors that say, I really don't have a lot of assets. Well, let me tell you, the most important and the most precious asset you have are those children. And so we want to make sure that you get your estate plans together in such a way that you provide a guardian or list a guardian for those minor children. So if you're here and you're a young pastor with a young family, then we want to help you as well. And then the second thing that Thomas wanted me to share with you about is about 50 years ago, we began to receive gifts from various individuals through estate plans and other means, to which we created what we call our Seminary Scholarship Fund. And for any member of a Georgia Baptist church that feels called into ministry and is going to one of our 6 Southern Baptist seminaries, then we provide a scholarship for them if they're full-time or equivalent. And so if you've got students in your church, or maybe you yourself are trying to finish your master's degree, it's for master's level degree program. But if you have students in your church or you yourself are trying to do that and need some additional assistance and you're not currently receiving that scholarship, then we want you to know that that scholarship is available. Let me tell you 2 things that you'll want to be aware of. That scholarship is awarded through the financial aid office of that seminary. So you're more than welcome to call our offices, but what's going to happen is that we're going to direct you to the financial aid office at the seminary by which you're attending. So if you're attending a seminary, you've got a student that's attending one of our seminaries, have them go to the financial aid office, make sure they're receiving that scholarship, and if they are not receiving that scholarship, have the financial aid office reach out to us to make sure that they begin to receive that scholarship, because it's awarded through the financial aid office, and you'll want to talk to them there. The second thing that you'll want to be aware of as it relates to that is, as you know, seminary education, really all education, is changing. Much of it is done through our extension centers as well as through online programs. And for you to receive, or for a student to receive the scholarship, you've got to be full-time equivalent. Well, for our extension centers and for our online students, a full-time equivalent is really only taking about 6 hours. So a lot of our students or a lot of our folks are able to benefit from it, even though they're not taking what you would traditionally think is a full load of classes. So we'd love to make that available to you and hope that we can help in that way. I strongly believe that the strength of our churches going forward is going to be dependent upon the strength of those who've been trained in our seminaries, and we want to diligently help our students be able to receive the degrees that they need to lead our churches without a large amount of debt. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate it, brother. Now, I'm going through some things here that are very important, and I want to make sure that we're clear on this, because truthfully, there are a lot of things that are available to our pastors and to our people that we want you to take advantage of. There is also what we call the cross the finish line scholarship I want to talk to you about. And then we want to also talk about the Caskey Center for Church Excellence. Would you come share with us about that, Marcus?
Thank you so much, Thomas. 2 years ago, as you know, I was asked by Dr. Chuck Kelly and Dr. Mark Tolbert, would you like to serve as our Caskey Center Director for the state of Georgia? I said, I would love to do that. What's the Caskey Center? I've never heard of that before. The Caskey Center for Church Excellence is a scholarship fund at New Orleans Seminary. A family, sort of like the Clampett, struck oil on their property. This family struck natural gas on their property. And they decided that they wanted to use that blessing to bless Baptists, to bless ministers. And so they funded 50 scholarships for Louisiana. The money kept coming in. They funded 50 full scholarships for pastors in the state of Mississippi. The money kept coming in. They provided scholarships for 50 pastors in the state of Alabama. The money kept coming in. And the hope was that we would get 50 scholarships for the state of Georgia. That's still the goal. But by the spring, we hope to at least have 25 full scholarships for the state of Georgia. Any pastor in Georgia any Southern Baptist, Georgia Baptist pastor that is in a church running 150 or less, you have to be running 150 or less, this scholarship will cover up to $7,000, all tuition and all books. And we only ask that that these pastors that are in these churches, there's one class that you have to take, one evangelism class, and the rest of that is just whatever you would normally take. This scholarship is good for a level college, for an undergraduate degree. It's also good for New Orleans Seminary for a master's degree. Now, if you want a PhD or a DMin, you're on your own. We can't help you. But for level college and for master's degree students at New Orleans Seminary, this is a full scholarship up to $7,000. The good news is you can take your classes any number of ways. You can take your classes online, and it'll pay for all of that. You can take your classes at an extension center anywhere in Georgia, any of the New Orleans extension centers, or you can drive down to the campus if you want to and take class, or any combination thereof. And we hope to, by the spring, to have 25 of our pastors enrolled, so please see me. I would be happy to talk to you about that.
Thank you, Marcus. I know we're going long, but you know why? Because we got a lot to give you, all right? So y'all just bear with us. This is like Christmas at Grandma's. They just keep opening the presents, all right? Here's the other thing I want to share with you, the J. Edgar Vance Scholarship Program. We're launching this next year. What we're wanting to do is push an extra $1 million of scholarship money to our three schools for pastors, ministers, children who want to go to our three schools. So this money will be going to our three schools to really to help your children go to one of our three schools for a couple of reasons. Number one, we want to see them educated. Number two, we think your kids on our campuses will help to really to change and elevate the spiritual presence on our campus. And we just want to bless you and thank you. So I hope that will also encourage you about that as well. Now, there's all kinds of ongoing missions and ministries that we do, and you have a list of those that we're going to continue to do, and the book that will also share with you everything about that. At this time, I'm going to ask the Georgia Baptist staff to come up and join me up here. Please read that book that you'll see of all the things that we are continuing to provide, whether it's disaster relief, Christian Index, and everything else. There's a lot of things there, but as the staff comes up, we just want to share a few things with you, our pastors. Larry, you got to get a mic. Keep going all the way to the front. Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
We want to say thank you to all of our pastors who are here for the sermons that you deliver on a regular basis, as well as the Bible studies that you lead.
Pastors, we appreciate you so much. Thank you for the sacrifices you make daily to serve others.
Pastors, thank you for never giving up.
Student pastors, we want to thank you for raising up the next generation of church leaders, pastors, and missionaries.
And pastors who minister among children, thank you for pouring the Word of God in their hearts every week. Don't stop it.
Worship pastors, thank you for leading us in worship each week.
To every staff member, thank you for edifying and equipping the body for the work of the ministry.
Thank you, pastors, for leading your churches to reach your communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Larry, go ahead and pray. Pastors, I'm going to ask you if you would just to stand right now. We want to pray for you.
And as you are seated around those pastors who are standing, could I ask you to just silently lift up a prayer for them right now, asking God's blessings, God's strength, and God's wisdom as they lead the churches in our state. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for a calling. I thank you, Lord, that every pastor here has responded to that calling. It's not merely a career. It's your hand on their lives. And Lord, every day they face new challenges. They're part of times of celebration. They're part of times of crisis. But no matter what happens during the week, Sunday comes every week. And they have to stand. They stand gladly and proclaim your word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only thing that changes a life. So my prayer is today for each of our pastors that your hand will be mightily upon them, that you will encourage them, that you will surround them with people who will encourage them, and Father, that they would never give up or give in, but would continue to proclaim the gospel, that heaven may be filled with people who have responded to that gospel message and accepted you as their Savior. We thank you for these men. We thank you for their dedication and their commitment. We thank you, Lord, that they serve a risen Savior and they serve a church that you died for and that you're living in today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Y'all can go. Y'all can go be seated. So, Mr. Chairman, this concludes my report.